Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Presented by We Talk Productions. Black Urban America airs on Tuesday evenings from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Also on Saturday evenings, we have Provocative Thought by Carter Sneed. He airs at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I'm your host, Kenny Jones. We made it through another week. Now, before I bring my guests on, just a few things I just want to go over. Trump did it again. I know you are tired of me of talking about our president. But this is what he did. Trump wants Congress to give back $15 billion from CHIP. As you know, CHIP is the Children's Health Insurance Plan that helps low-income families for their medical expenses. And he wants $15 billion. You want Congress to give that $15 billion to fund baby first, be first by his wife. I don't even know what his wife's name is. Now, what type of impact is that going to be on our families? Now, tonight we're going to talk about a little bit of some of that impact. And finally, our president want another beef. Now, he get ready to sit down with North Korea. And he's not satisfied that he's bringing a long-time, I don't want to say enemy, but a long-time emphasis to the United States, North Korea. And everyone was praising him from both aisles of the Senate and Congress. There he goes. He's not satisfied. There he goes and take back the deal that President Obama established with Iran. Now he wanted to be for Iran. Now, It took like two presidents that to make this deal. Was Bush started, President Obama finished it. And you got to remember, United States and Iran have been at each other's neck since 1978, late 70s. I don't know what kind of, and all of the political commentators feel that this is going to lead us to another military confrontation. White supremacy at hand again. I should not say white supremacy. It's just that incompetence is at hand again from this administration. Tonight's guest going to be discussing a topic that may be a concern in the African American communities across this nation, and he's going to explain why this might be a concern. My guest, Mr. David Harper Jr., welcome.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'm fine, 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 fine. So,
yeah.
Depression.
Mm-hmm.
Why should we be concerned about this issue? Well, because depression always seen as a white disorder. Not too many.
Yeah, that's true.
Black folks suffer. In fact, I read some stats today, because I was briefing myself for the interview tonight. I read some stats today that white folks are two times more to have depression than black folks. But however, black folks suffer from major depression more than any other culture in the United States. Is that true?
So you're saying that a mild depression is more common in whites and major depression is more common in blacks? Is that what you're saying?
No, no. They just say depression. They did not give what type of depression. I know there's several type of depressive disorders, but they just said depression. And then they went on and said major depression. Blacks are two times more to have major depression due to community and domestic violence. You know, that's why major depression. Matter of fact, it says that 56.5% for African Americans, 56% for Caribbean blacks, and 38.6% for whites.
Yeah. Well, I don't
The NASAL, National Study for American Life, of American Life, excuse me.
Well, see, I don't know about the disparity between depression of whites and blacks, but I do know that I don't feel like there's enough discussion about depression in the black community. So if someone is going through a depression, they're less likely to tell somebody and seek the help that they need.
Yes,
and
of course. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, another thing is because black people have less money, we're less likely to have insurance that covers mental health, because usually the insurance that covers mental health is more expensive insurance. So, I mean, we're less likely to be able to get the help we need, too.
And then also, David, also, it has been a long standing in the black community over decades, is the level of trust in the mental health clinics. Even there are more mental health clinics in black urban centers, the left of them, black urban centers in the United States. It's, I think it's so much of a lack.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit, so it's hard for me to hear you.
Oh, you can't hear me? Can you hear me better?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit better now. I moved closer to my receiver also. But, what I did, I was suffering from a depression myself. I was working at a great job. I was making lots of money. But I felt really, really disconnected from just other people and just life in general. And for me, the depression was more about feeling disconnected. And so after a while, people say you suffer from depression about 7 years before you seek help. And for me, after a certain point of feeling depressed, I decided to really take matters in my own hands and start studying psychology so I could start learning what causes depression. So I kept reading and reading and reading, and I got a lot of very conflicting data about what causes depression and what should be done to fix it. But, you know, I was slowly muddling through different methodologies and moving through it. But the one that helped me the most was spiral dynamics, and that's why I made my site centered around spiral dynamics.
What is spiral dynamics?
Okay, spiral dynamics is a meta-theory, and it was first proposed by a man named Claire Graves, and he was a psychologist in New York, and he was teaching psychology, and his students would ask him which of these psychological methods are correct, because they all contradict, whether it was Pavlov, Skinner, Freud, Jung. And so he set out to really put them together in a meta theory to see how they all work. And by doing this, he figured out there's a progression of development that all people go through. And it's a sequence of stages that aren't ever skipped, and they move in a certain direction. So we take them in values. So we say people's values are centered around certain things throughout all these stages. Now, the earliest stage we call beige, and that's your, you know, basic needs of hunger, sleep, and survival. And people use habituation in that meme to work through their problems. And that's kind of like a stage of a small child when they start crying to get food and stuff like that. So they're just looking at satisfying the immediate needs, and they're not thinking any further than that. And then after that meme goes away, we call these stages memes. So when that meme goes away, we move into the purple. And purple is more about kindred spirits, we call it, or various superstitions and things like that. And it's very much based around family. So and on a personal level, that's when you believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and whatnot. And your bonds there are very much familial, and you work with that, work with those bonds as family bonds. And the people that are elder are those who make the decisions, and those are the people you follow, and those are the people that lead you. And then after that, you'll move into like what we call like the teenage years, or the kind of the past terrible twos and stuff like that, the toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes more about dominance. And so in this meme, you'll end up with people, the bullying thing comes through a lot, where people try to intimidate each other to do this or do that. And then once you move past that, you move back to the traditional stage, which we call blue. And in this stage is the stage where you have like an overriding philosophy to your life, such as Christianity or Islam. And there you try to make your life fit this outside philosophy as much as possible. And then from there,
now,
you'll go on.
Now, is this outside philosophy some type of conflict with your values, your familiar values?
Yeah. So, well, everybody occupies, its values are centered around one of those stages. And when you understand which stage you are centered around, you understand the conflicts you're having with other people better, and you come up with better ways to deal with those conflicts. But let me finish the progression real quick, because it's going to help us frame the discussion. And so after the traditional stage, you have your strive drive stage, where you're trying to make a lot of money and get wealthy and build a stable life for your family and whatnot. That's kind of like your 30s. When you're going through and trying to make money and do that type of thing. And then after that, that's orange. And then after that, we have the green stage, when you go back to trying to build these bonds with people, but it's not even just your family or people within your philosophy. You're trying to build bonds with the entire world. So on a larger scale, we call that kind of like the like a hippie would be in the 60s. Where everything was about love and bringing people together, but they're not practical in how they go about things. So they have a good meaning behind what they do, but they're not practical about how they go about things. But after all that's said and done, we have what's called a momentous leap, and then you get into the second tier. And in yellow, that's when that's the second tier philosophy, when you understand all these lower philosophies and stages, and you can systematically work through them to solve various problems, okay? And so the great thing about Graves was, using that framework, he realized certain psychologists meant their work for certain stages. So Pavlov was basically for the purple stage, where it's a call and response or stimulus and response. And then Skinner was in the red meme, where it's about dominance and being dominated and coming up with all these stories about why you can't do something or why you can do something. And then Freud was more blue moving to orange. So in the Freud's work is based around this idea of people are so over-socialized, they were scared to express themselves, whether it was through anger or sexually, and he's trying to get them to move past that into orange. And then Jung was more of a green meme psychology. When they've moved through a lot of stuff, they have a lot of money, and they realize that they're not connected to anybody, and they feel disconnected from everyone. They're trying to build those connections back. And it really stuck with me, because once I read the transition from orange to green, I realized that's the exact stage I was going through, that I felt super disconnected from everything, and I was trying to piece together a new kind of community, but I'm kind of trying to do it from a whole new perspective. And once I realized that, it really stuck with me, and I started studying it even more and more and more. So go on with what you were saying about values. I didn't hear all of it.
Oh, what I was saying is, when you say before, explain the spiral, I was asking, when you talk about the stage where you get your values and the stage where you get your values and where you go into the world, and there's another set of values. Do those values conflict with your familiar values, your family values? And I forgot we go to that stage, it's something about the values.
Yes, drive.
Does that cause some of issues within oneself?
It's exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. So what will happen is people will stay in homeostasis, we call homeostasis in one stage, right? Let's say they're in red, and they're thinking about dominance. So they try to dominate everybody around them or accept other people are dominating them, okay? Well, the problems in their life will become more and more complex after they fix the simpler problems of their life. And so what will happen is they'll confront up against this new set of problems. Now, when they confront against it, they don't have anything within their toolbox to handle this new set of problems. And that's when the dysfunction starts coming in. So when you bump up against this new set of problems, you don't have the mechanisms to deal with it, you'll go back and try to work through all the different stages you had before. And hopefully, when it works out well, the person will go through all those previous stages, realize none of them work, and then develop the next stage of values and move into the next stage. However, there could be blockages, whether it's different shadow work. We call shadow work is when you have different pathologies or whatnot that prevent you moving to the next stage. There could be a barrier that could keep you from moving into that next stage also. So the transition from the stages are really tumultuous.
What some of the barriers could be? What could some of the barriers be?
Well, one of the barriers, Grave actually said that there are some people that aren't able to access certain parts of the brain. So when Graves was doing his thing, it was before CAT scans and whatnot. And we're still doing the research now to see, are there parts of the brain stimulated in when certain value systems come on. Now, another blockage could be what we call shadow. And so shadow is the different things going on in your own head that prevent you from moving forward. So we have different methods to identify what those are through journaling and reading on different philosophies and different things like that to realize what values are and what could be blocking you from moving to the next stage. Like, let's say someone's in blue, and they have traditional values, and those traditional values are centered around Christianity. But the Christianity they taught, they were taught, was stuff like the meek will inherit the earth, and it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than pass through an eye of a needle or whatnot. If that's the Christianity you were told, then there's going to be a barrier when you move to the next stage, which is a strive drive stage. It's the stage where you're supposed to be making more money and being ambitious and things like that, because you think doing that will send you to hell. So you have to identify that as the barrier and work through that to move to the next stage.
Interesting. Let me ask you this. So how does that theory explain some of the depression, or if there is depression going on in our communities today?
Well, one big cause of depression is the move from orange to green. Because
explain orange again.
Orange is strive drive. So orange is the part where you're making money.
Making money
and things like that. And then green is when you try to reestablish connections, but not on the basis of the previous means, which was your religion or philosophy or your family. You're making these connections kind of just out of the blue, and you're building connections with people from all different races, all different philosophies, all different creeds, and trying to bring them all together. So what's happened in orange is you've been worried about individual striving, and that's another thing in spiral dynamics. There's the stages go from individual to collective, individual to collective, individual to collective. So in orange, you are an individual striving and making more money, and you've done that, but now you don't have those connections with other people that you want. The people in your circle are basically work buddies, and you're using them for social climbing and whatnot. So that's one thing that causes a depression, is just the realization that you need to make better connections that are based off of, you know, love and not just moving up. So you go through a depression, but it's not necessarily a bad thing, because you're doing a realization of, you know, I need to move to the next thing. Now,
excuse me for cutting you off. Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Now, suppose you have an individual that's not doing well in the orange stage.
That's another thing.
There are some barriers that are preventing this person to do the well, get the ambition, make progress in one life, get the house, get the Mercedes, the BM, whatever. Suppose they are not doing well at the orange stage. What type of impact would that have on the person?
Okay. So there's a couple things that could happen if that goes on. Let's say they're not able to move to the next stage, okay? They could regress back down because they're bumping up against those walls. So they could go back down to traditional, or which means they just delve themselves into religion and just dump themselves completely into religion or philosophy. They could go back down to red, where they just get angry and try to manipulate and intimidate people. And, I mean, that explains a lot of the problem, like, in the hood, honestly. You know, I mean, people are trying to...
I was getting ready to bring up gangs, and I was getting ready to bring up prisons. So, go ahead. Keep going. I'm following you well. Glad you mentioned it, because I was thinking about when you was defining it. I thought of gangs, and I thought of prisons, where you don't get in that orange and go, and we skip a couple of colors. We go straight to red.
Yeah, I mean, that could happen. You could go straight to red. Or you could just kind of drive yourself crazy in orange. Like, you just stay in kind of a gamma loop. We call it a gamma loop, where we just the same thing over and over and over. But I do believe that you can go through orange, not be successful, and then come away from it saying that, look, this value system of just trying to get ahead is flawed. And I want to move to the next system of love and building connections, because I realize that the system is flawed and I can't move past it. But the thing is, like, most of the people in spiral dynamics, they're because it costs a lot of money to learn spiral dynamics. It, like, you know, it costs like $600 to get the training. So other option is to read the books. So the community doesn't have a lot of black people in it right now, and not a lot of black people that are going through the struggle and whatnot that, you know, me and you probably went through at some point. So
there are a lot of black folks going through some struggle. And as you're explaining, we have communities that are being gentrified. You know, even though the unemployment rate is down to 3.6, you know, especially black men still have an unemployment rate of in the low 30s or upper 20s. And so there's a lot of, dynamics in our communities that could cause these individuals to experience some of these levels that you're discussing, especially the red, especially the orange, where a large percentage, and I'm keeping it on black men, all right, fairly well, according to the numbers. But you are prevented from getting into that orange level. What do you think you're going to do? And let me tell you, we have become so materialistic. When you're not doing well, some of your past connections may not want you around.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think that's part of the reason why religion is so big in the black community. I mean, there are religious white people. I'm not saying there's no religious white people, but I think that on average, black people are more into religion than just the average person. And so that's kind of how we can go back and, like, find ourselves. And it's a good thing. I mean, it gives us something to keep us going out of that ridge, you know? So, I mean, it's a good thing. But, yeah, well, red, I mean, it's about dominance, and it is very much similar to a gang culture. Because one thing about gang culture, if you look at it, there are a lot of aspects of it that are red, which is about, you know, dominance and, you know, proving how tough you are and things like that. But there also are a lot of elements that are about symbolism, too. So that's kind of like the
purple
stage.
And green, too. Also, excuse me for cutting you off, green, too, brotherhood.
Okay, I can see some brotherhood there. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's kind of like
according to their law, you know, brotherhood. Yeah. You know, a lot of guys say they joined the gang. Well, old school guys, Joe Gang's been around for 6-7 decades now. You know, old school. Yeah, well, just be around the guys, be around the brotherhood, protection. The green coming, I'm gonna die for my brother, I'm gonna die for the gang. I mean, all that could be, you know, considered love, I guess, you know.
I think most spiral dynamics people would consider that type of love more of a tribal love, in that it's an us versus them kind of a thing, and it's our close.
Yeah. Of course.
So it's a tribal thing, too. So another thing you see in gangs is a lot of symbolism, right? You see a lot of symbolism in gangs. Like, everybody wears red, blue. They Playboy bunny means a people's nation. You know, a pyramid and a cane means people's nation. So a lot of that is very purple symbolic, too. So, I mean, I think those orange mean barriers will prevent somebody from moving up the spiral into finally second tier, when they can say, okay, now that I understand all that stuff, I can look back and help my brothers now and really help them. Like, not just like give them a dollar or two to get through the week, like really understand fundamentally how they need to make change to improve their lives. And so I think those orange mean barriers are a big, big problem in society. We got to learn how to knock those down.
Let me ask you this. Do you think, you say it's not a whole lot of us in the spiral dynamic community, do you think that black folks will be open-minded to this theory? Because you got to remember, a lot of mental health clinics which misdiagnose us all the time. We have a high rate of misdiagnosis and misassessment on black folks because of cultural designs and whatnot. Do you, with the history of the relationship between the clinic and where they have those, where they believe it's Skinner, Freud, Leif Erikson, and all these guys, right, where they base their theory and their approaches and practices on that, with the I want to say mistrust, but with the antithetical relationship that we have with the mental health clinics, do you think that black folks will be open minded to another theory to explain why they're feeling the way they're feeling?
Well, I think one great thing about spiral dynamics is because you can learn it yourself and then apply the different methods like on yourself, it doesn't force you to go into these institutions and ask for their help. So it's a lot of it's around self-help too, because once you understand the value system you're in, you can then look at ways to move towards healthier manifestations of the value system. Like, for example, let's say if someone's in that red meme and they want to be tough, they want to be strong. Well, the healthy manifestation of that would be becoming a firefighter, where you get to be tough, you get to be strong, but you're helping people out. And so once you understand that little piece there, you can then channel your energy into something more healthy than, you know, gang life or whatnot, you know. So
it's okay
because,
to be in the red. So you say it's okay to be in the red, but take those characteristics that you possess and apply to a positive means.
Exactly. That's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah. So
that's
you
exactly
just got
to
find out what level or stage or color that you're in, so you can understand what's going on with you and challenge and channel these energies down the path that you need to go to.
Exactly. That's exactly what you want to do.
So are you saying, David, that the community mental health clinics, hospitals, and these other mental health services that's in our communities are really not benefiting us?
I don't know about all that.
You can say we could do it ourselves. When you go in that clinic and you get assessed, they're saying you need a therapist. You need to come in here once a week or twice a month and have a counseling session.
Well, my thing is I don't want to tell anybody because I'm not a mental health professional. I'm just saying what worked for me. And Spiral Dynamics really did work for me because I was able to understand where I was at. I was understanding where I was attempting to go. And then once I understood that, I realized tons of people have made this transition before, and it's something that I can do. It doesn't have to just constantly be me being depressed and alone. It can be about me understanding what I'm trying to do and then constructively coming up with ways to achieve those goals. But I don't want to say that somebody shouldn't listen to a mental health professional. You just got to find a good one. And another thing resource black people need – well, hold on a second. Another resource black people need is there's a National Black Psychiatrist Association.
Right,
so
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, so you can contact them.
Well, how many of them – how many of them – because they all went to Western institutions, they all were educated in the traditionally psychology methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them subscribe to spiral dynamics?
There's probably not a lot that specifically do spiral dynamics, but the idea of ego development, which is the broader category that spiral dynamics falls under,
ego
a
dynamics.
Lot of them are into that.
The ego comes from Freud, right?
Okay, ego, yes, it was first coined by Freud, but after Freud did it, people expanded on the theory. And ego development is a broader thing. So there's a lot of psychiatrists that are into ego development.
Right, right. And explain to the audience that's going to download the show or listen by the computers, what is ego development? I know what ego development is. But explain to the layman term, what ego development is.
Okay, ego development is just the idea that people's personalities and their self-image develop in certain stages. And one framework of that, sub-framework of that, is spiral dynamics, and there are others too. So there are a lot of people that subscribe to this theory of a natural progression of the way people are. And a lot of these people are in the National Black Psychiatrists Association and things like that. So
Let me ask, now I'm going to shift my question. Do you feel that racism and poverty may increase the high risk of depression? I mean, not only racism and poverty, well, police violence is part of racism. Yeah, racism and poverty increase the risk of depression.
Oh yeah, of course. That's another barrier. That's another barrier, possibly in any meme, of just brushing up just against the system in and of itself. Not even just the orange meme. I mean, you could be discriminated against for dressing in your Islamic clothes if you're a Muslim. You know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's a barrier in your blue meme. So I mean, Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now explain this. Okay, you say you're dressing up a certain way, okay, may cause this. How about just walking down the block being a black man? Where does that fall? Because there is a lot of shootings happen. I read a week ago where I was talking about the difference between white suspects and black suspects. One cop said, I think the cop in Missouri said, he looked like he was a bad dude. I mean, I'm not like a looker, you know, but I'm a hard looker. I mean, I could have been shot 50 times by now, once a year. You know, so
yeah, I mean,
how does the stressors play into the development? Do the stressors that's in our community prevent the development on oneself?
I 100% agree with it. And I think I think the different stressors could affect you in any meme, any of the memes in different ways. But I think in the red meme, when you're dominating, trying to show aggression, trying to assert who you are separate from everybody else, the red meme is the first meme where you individuate, where you say, I am different from everyone else, and I want to be me, you know, and be an independent entity. Okay, so when you're discriminated against by the cops, he just throws you in with just all black people. And so that's something that is hurting your ability to individuate and see and be judged on your own actions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it hurts you in the red meme, and it could cause a backlash because those people operate in aggression and dominance, to where you act out in dominant manners and aggressive manners to other people, you know, who have to take it from you. So, I mean, that's why we have a lot of people say that, why is it when you walk down the street and you see somebody black, they'll mean mug you? Well, they're projecting onto you the anger that they couldn't project onto the cops or their teachers or their boss. They're projecting it onto you.
Right.
So a lot of times when we have these conflicts in our community, it's just misplaced aggression. And once you understand that, you don't take that misplaced aggression personally. You'll just say, okay, my brother's a little upset right now. I'll give him a pass. I don't have to come back angry at him and then cause this thing to snowball. I understand
The average person don't know this. The average person, you know, that might come in contact with aggressive individual or angry individual may not give that individual a pass and walk away and doing 10 years.
Yeah, I understand that. And that's why I think it's so important to get this message out to the community and get people educated on spiral dynamics so they can understand, you know, what they're seeing and what they're up against. Because once you understand what you're up against and where you're at in the spiral, you can have more constructive responses to things. You know, so let's say you understand that you're in the red and you got to be tough, you got to be strong, and you see somebody else acting that way, you can at least say, you know, this one time I'm going to go ahead and give the guy a pass and move on. Once you have that, just that little bit of awareness is all you need, just that little bit of awareness. You don't have to be an expert in philosophy or in psychology to do this. You just need a little bit of info. If you can just tell one or two other people about the progression, that could be enough to get them to change or give people passes or look to move forward.
David, how can self you spoke of a word, self-image. You spoke of a term.
Yeah, self-image.
Yeah. How can we get people to understand their self-image? I mean, we got people 40, 50, 60 years old. They don't really have awareness, or I'd like to say self-awareness, or self-awareness of self.
Well, on my site's www.blackleaderanalysis.com. And what I've done on that site is I've taken a lot of leaders and just famous people, and I've done like analysis of them. And what I want people to do is if you go on the site, you'll look through all the different colors. And what will happen is you'll figure out that there's a set of leaders that you really resonate with. There's a style of leadership that you love. And from there, that's a reflection back on yourself for you to understand what your own values are. So let's say if you're the kind of person who likes for a black leader to get up and say, look, I'm not taking none from these white folks. We're going to get arms. We're going to fight back. If that's the type of leader you want and you love, that tells you something about yourself. Whereas if you love the leaders that are like, we're going to make concessions, we're going to love everybody, I'm going to take race out of it even. I'm just going to see myself as just an individual or a member of the human race, and I don't care nothing about race at all. Like, that tells you something about yourself. So, I mean, you can learn a lot of yourself by who you choose to follow and who you choose to emulate and who you choose to read up on. You know, if you're a kind of guy who would rather read Malcolm X than Dr. King, that tells you something about yourself, you know?
Okay, what does that tell you? Because I'm a guy. You got me there. You got me there, Brother David. I'm a guy that's a big follower of Malcolm, even though
Dr.
King
means
beautiful things.
Yeah, Malcolm, a lot of his work was from the orange meme in that it wasn't about getting money. It was about building a strong community that has physical resources to fight back. This is what this tells you about you. This tells me about you that you are a person that believes in individualism. It believes in self-sufficiency. He believes in strength. I mean, these are all good qualities, you know. And so when you're dealing with other people and they have a different value system, you can understand why you feel a certain way about them. So if a guy came up to you right now, a black dude, was like, hey, you know, I don't see race. You know, we're all just the human race. I don't care nothing about what happened in the past. How would you feel about that?
I said, I'm about black nationalism. I believe in my people first.
Okay. Well, that says a lot about yourself right there. So, but now you understand that you're not judging that person. You're judging his values at this moment. You understand? That's a big shift there. Once you understand that you judging his values at this moment, and his values could change up or down, then you can have a really constructive conversation with the person. Like right now, I see, especially like online, I'll see black people calling each other coon or Uncle Tom or try to say they're woke or not woke. It's kind of like fifth grade name calling.
Right, right. That's a bully. To me, that's bullying.
That is exactly what it is.
To me, that's bullying. Even though I might be, I might be love for my people first. Mm-hmm. I always say you got to respect others for who they are. There might be
exactly.
a mix of green and orange. I don't know what it is. But, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. That's to me, that's bullying. And as soon as I see something like that, I just shut it down.
Exactly. I 100% agree. And that's the great thing about that's the great thing about Spiral Dynamics. You're able to take that, you know, step back, understand things from a values perspective, and you can actually get to the root of the problem. You know now to go down and figure out what that guy's root values are. And once you understand the root values and where they're different, you can have a lot more constructive conversation. And I think you'll benefit from it, and he'll benefit from it, because you'll see his side of the story next time you run into somebody like that. And that's a big thing to where we can come together, because the black community is just really divided now. Like, you got some people
right.
that have, you know, done pretty well. They got a little bit of success, a little bit of money, and they're kind of separating themselves from everybody else. And then you
right.
have a set of brothers who aren't doing well, having a harder and harder time, and they're being deeper and deeper isolated. You know, you talk about 30% unemployment. If you're a man, your main way you interact with the world is through your job. So if you don't get
right.
a job, you're isolated from the rest of
your
the world.
Family. And caring for your family.
Mm-hmm.
How you going to care for your family if you don't have a job?
And that leads to even more anger and negative manifestations of the red meme. But if we were able, if we can work through some of this stuff and help each other out more, we could grow a little bit. And I think that's why I think Spiral Dynamics could really bring black people together, because once we see each other and can take a step back and understand the different values and how to interact with each other, we can have a lot stronger community and we can help each other out more.
Like we used to do in the past.
Well, in the past, you had more people centered around, like, the blue meme, because in the past, people...
That
was
religion.
Ain't
blue religion? Yeah, blue is religion, right? Blue is religion, right?
Yeah, blue is religion. Blue is religion.
Okay. Well, we still got a lot of blue today.
Yeah, and we have a lot of blue, but now you see more people. You got some people in Islam, some Christians, other faiths and everything. So we still have a lot of division within blue now. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing we have all this diversity now. But we got to get back to where we can look past it a little bit and come together. Because I see a lot of people, you know, like, you ever watch the Cy Netter debates? You ever watch Cy Netter's debates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you watch those debates, I mean, they're both people coming from this traditional blue meme, whatever religion they come through, Hebrew or, you know, Moore or whatever. And they believe that their religion is the truth. And that's why they can't have a constructive dialogue with each other. And they get, I mean, they almost get in a fisticuff a couple of times. I mean, they almost threaten each other with violence. And that's because they think that they have the one true religion. But if they understood that they have one manifestation of the blue meme, and this other guy has a different manifestation, they could at least just say, you know what? You got your religion, and that's fine, and I'm just going to walk away from this one, because I'm not going to, you know, defame my religion by, you know, trying to beat you up on a stage like this. And I think you can learn a lot from those side
letters. Instead of them leaving their personal values and religions at the door, coming to the table and discussing the issue at hand, which is building a strong community in the black community. Only got a couple minutes left, David. Why don't you just sum it up and tell the people about the www.black leadership analysis, more about that. So we're about to come to a conclusion.
All right. Yeah, everyone, please go to www.blackleaderanalysis.com. I have analysis of a lot of different leaders on the site. You can go and read it and figure out where you're centered at. I also have a series that teaches Spiral Dynamics. A lot of times you have to pay a lot of money for a series like that. I'm giving it to people for free. So it's under Spiral Dynamics Theory in the call boxes. And I'm doing this year, I'm spending a whole year on one leader, and that leader is Bumrah Ambedkar from India, and he was an Indian untouchable. So I'm going to do a whole year on him, so I'll have a whole full analysis of him here shortly. So www.blackleaderanalysis.com.
Dave, thank you for coming on the show, man. I really enjoyed the discussion, man.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you.
I'm going to invite you back, too, if you don't mind.
I appreciate
I'm going to
that, buddy.
All right. You have a good evening. Again, thank you for coming on the show.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Well, very interesting. Very interesting explanation. I think we all should take a look at it. I think we should all take a look. If it isn't for you, it isn't for you. I'm an inclusive kind of guy. I'm going to, I know a little bit about this stuff, but yes, I think it's very interesting. I think that some of you should explore it. Well, another week, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, another week. I'd just like to make an announcement. In June, I will be having a co-host, and her name will be Samantha J. West. And very like, that's the one that came on about the financial services. So she probably going to do a whole lot of shows on financial economics. So with that, don't forget to stay tuned for Saturday night, Provocative Thought, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Okay, we're called to Sneak. All right, he did a great job with this logo. Now we go to Black Urban America Facebook page. You see our new logo. Next, I think our website should be out by June because we got to get people to do different stuff, you know, like headshots. And I'm working on other people's time. So I want everyone to have a nice weekend. Not a nice weekend, a nice week. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. See ya.
Hold it now!